Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. A lot of you exercised by some of the topics we've covered so far this morning. A caller says, I'm not surprised at all by President Trump's comments. I even called to this show back in October because he literally said he was going to do exactly this, but pro-Palestinian Americans still fell for the Genocide Joe and Killer Kamala propaganda. A caller asks, who owns America, the Jewish or the Americans? Well, who runs it? Who controls it? It's a big question. Hamas hiding behind the babies, nurses and doctors, the culprits who killed all the people on October 7th should have given themselves up. All seemed quiet up until then, says Mary. It's very clear that America is being run by Israel, not Trump. How do the Americans feel about this? And it feels like lots of people are running America except Donald Trump. Elon Musk, incredibly influential over American policy. And why are you talking about America? Because it actually is going to end up having an impact here. So whilst it's a global American issue, it certainly resonates with us here in Ireland. I just thought he was very deferential. Is that the correct word? President Trump to Bibi, as he calls him. Look at Lebanon. They took in Palestinians and the country's destroyed. Shia Muslims will never integrate with Christian society. Time for the West to wake up. Well, the West, in inverted commas, want Palestinians to have their own state, their own land. Why rebuild Gaza? They will use the funds to build their terror infrastructure, and in 20 years' time, the same thing will happen again. Hamas out, then there is a chance of peace. But that is, I suppose, if you presume that everything that Israel said about the terrorist infrastructure in Gaza was actually true. If they wanted to destroy a hospital, there was tunnels under the hospital. If they wanted to destroy a school, there was tunnels under the school. If they wanted to wipe out an apartment block of civilians, you know, in the basement, there was Hamas leadership. You're presuming all of that is as was said to you. Donald might find the Riviera of the Middle East to be a bit of a hard sell, even if he could build it, which seems very unlikely. Who's going to visit it for a holiday? He just says stuff off the top of his head. He must be a nightmare for all his advisors. I wonder, does the USA have a civil servant system like we have who really run the show? I think, effectively, the President of the United States, especially through executive orders, can call the shots. He signed one last evening which banned trans men from competing in women's sports. Now, it is a very strong piece of guidance, but it has to be interpreted by the various sporting bodies there. Where are the tents and all the charities and Red Cross for Gaza? People are freezing right now and starving to death. And UNRWA are banned. This is murder by Israel. They've destroyed every source of life while the world watches. The Palestinians suffer and die for 16 months and ongoing. Netanyahu and Israel are responsible for terrible war crimes, and yet the US hosts him like a celebrity. Shame on this world, says Bernadette. Morning, Greg. That person is correct about the gears in cars, especially turbos. I have a 2-litre Skoda Octavia turbo. It's very difficult to drive it at those speeds in higher gears, unless you're obviously going downhill. Surely everyone driving in higher gears burns more fuel. Just a random observation on driving. I was heading down from here yesterday. I don't know what, there was massive tailbacks. I was driving down from here, Highland, yesterday, down towards Kilmacrenan. And the smell of burning clutches, I had to actually, you know how you can switch the outside air off and just recirculate the air? It wasn't one car either. Like, people must be sitting on their clutches on that hill waiting to get into Letterkenny, but the smell of burning clutches would knock you out. And as I say, it wasn't one car or one lorry. It must have been a few people who aren't used to sitting on a hill. But as I say, it was a strong stench. There's a few worn-out clutches today. Look at ESB profits, their overseas businesses and shareholders' bonuses, says the listener. Come on, people, it's all about taxes, penalties, fines, money, 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 says a listener. I believe that's in relation to speed vans. Sorry about that. Just had a brain fart, some would call it. Greg, what's the idea of these senseless, meaningless new road signs? How in under a god is any visitor or even anyone going to understand the three diagonal lines? I really fear for this country with the kind of people we've making the decisions. Baffling. These are the signs, really, that had a speed limit on roads that you couldn't do 80 on, you couldn't do 60 on. their roads often with grass up the middle, and for some reason they've put these signs in with the three diagonal lines. Funnily enough, and this is not contradictory, I wonder if maybe, you know, people visiting the country are more likely to make themselves aware of what these signs mean. Hi, Greg. How are you? I'm all right, thanks. How are you? Just a quick question. Is there still many people without broadband, Vodafone? It's out since the storm down in Drumbarnet, Manor Cunningham, where we are living. Just wondering if many more people are affected as we work from home in the evenings. The Cornwall area of Letterkenny is still without broadband too, by the way. Hi, Greg. This is on communications as well. Hi, Greg. Neighbour's landline still not working in Glasafanad. Three pensioners and I can't get through to air. Well, we tried to get in contact on your behalf there, and we just got a general statement. I'll read it, actually, some of it. Air is actively restoring services after Storm A1 disrupted fixed and mobile telecommunications across Ireland. To date, over 265,000 customers across Ireland have had their voice and broadband service restored, and more than 900 mobile sites have been brought back online. As of today, 25,897 homes and businesses in Donegal have been reconnected, accounting for 99% of confirmed faults. Out of approximately 70 mobile sites initially affected by the storm across Donegal, the vast majority have been recovered since last week. Recovery works continue across the country with priority focus placed on the most severely impacted counties of Galway, Mayo, Roscommon, Leitrim, Monaghan, Westmeath, Longford and Donegal. Air has redirected all available resources to support its storm response efforts. I think Air is responsible for the network, is it? It is, isn't it? And then obviously other providers such as Vodafone, Sky, etc. Use that network. 99% of Donegal has been reconnected, but we're getting contacted by the 1%, which I really feel I've been that 1%, and it is not nice. Hi, Greg. Heard talk in Highland Radio about breast cancer care. I had a referral from my doctor on the 31st of December to the breast clinic in Letterkenny. This is what I read to you yesterday. I've been told there is a 5-month waiting list for normal referrals. Surely this is not good enough. Is there anything, if there is anything ominous, then surely the waiting time will reflect or affect the outcome, not to mention the mental torture wondering if I'm okay. So we obviously chased this up because I was kind of concerned that this person would be going through the mill for the next 5 months. This is a response we received from CELTA. As per the National Cancer Control Program guidelines, all routine referrals should be seen within 12 weeks. LUH are experiencing capacity issues. However, funding has now been approved for additional weekend initiative clinics to address the routine waiting list. So it's a 12-week anyway. It's normally up to a 12-week wait for a routine referral. The listener was told there's a 5-month waiting list. CELTA tell us that they've funded, they have approved funding now for weekend clinics to try and catch up. So hopefully you're not going to have a 5-month wait. Hopefully those weekend catch-up clinics means that you get seen within still quite the long time of 12 weeks. So as I say, that's what we try and do, is get answers for you. Good morning. I agree with the man. I drove from Milford to Carrigart at midnight last night and I stayed below 60 all the way down, and it was difficult to do that. And I also believe that driving at that speed will have drivers taking in the scenery more and will add drivers getting tired, thus losing concentration and probably causing more collisions. But time will tell. Just to be clear, Milford to Carrigart is 80 and will remain 80. As far as we're aware, that is not up for discussion. So you drove at 60 and that's up to you. That's the speed you wish to drive at. But we tried to be really clear yesterday about the roads this will affect. You can drive at 80 from Milford to Carrigart out to Creasla. That's not going to change, obviously, except for where it goes down to 50. But if you turn left and head over Loxalt, then it's 60. Just to try and have some information local to that listener. Finally, is common sense being returned to the world? Hats off to President Trump for signing an executive order to ban trans women and girls from women's sports. Yes, that's by coincidence. I just referenced that. Lots of you chatting too on our social media as well. We do really appreciate that. And I will get to some of the comments off that. We'll rip some of them off and have a read of those in a moment. But now we're going to take the bingo numbers because it is jackpot day and hopefully one of you is going to be winning that prize. Now, Mark joins us on the programme. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, we are talking about more changes to the roads infrastructure in and around Letterkenny this time. You have your concerns. Talk to me.
We're talking about the circular road there from the hospital roundabout up to the Glencar roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing away with the central turning lane, so you can pull in there if you're going to the Samson shop or up at the Spire Centre there. That, they're going to do away with that and narrow the road down to 6.5 metres and put a big cycling path down one side. Like the traffic there in the mornings, the traffic in that road all day, like there's constant traffic on it. And now for this year, there's not going to be no improvement for the traffic. It's going to congest things even worse, so does, and restrict access for the ambulances to get into the hospital and getting out of the hospital as well.
So effectively, to accommodate the cycle lane, they are getting away. They're getting rid of the middle turning lane.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
You believe they could retain that, and there is capacity to widen the road to accommodate. So you believe it doesn't have to be either or.
They have a grass verge along the side. And then they have a footpath, and then there's more grass, and then you've got the wall. There's plenty of room there to make their cycle path without having to touch the road. So they have. That runs all the way up along that road, so it does. So should have no reason. They should be able to redesign it and leave the central turning lanes for the access to the shops and as well access to the houses and the avenues down around the hospital and up along that road.
It would seem by what the plans are, it is about making it more walking, pedestrian and cycling friendly. They are proposing a number of controlled pedestrian cycle crossings along that circular road, as well as providing the cycle lane. Maybe that will just generally slow the traffic down, but not cause
traffic's got a crawl speed there, so that's great.
All right, okay.
The morning and the evenings, there's no speed on that road. Like you come up there, I think it's 40k or maybe 50k up along that road. Mm. But very rarely would you get up to that speed on it. So you wouldn't.
Yeah.
And now, this is to come up as far as the Gale School entrance, which would be the continuation of the circular road, which is just at the Gale School's on McGovern Road there, which runs down to Glenock, the Close, the Elms and the Willows. But that road stops there the day it ends. Now, that was supposed to continue on down and come out near Kelly's Hardware there at Ballymacool.
Mm-hmm.
But that road was started back in 95, I think it was, and that's as far as it got. And now they're coming to do this with it. But you see the ambulances everywhere now. So they're having bother getting access to the hospital with these road changes from there. The fourth road here, out the Forest Place and the Clan Rea and that, ambulance is sitting, coming up the other side of the mountain top, the ambulance at times have to divert out onto down the opposite flow of traffic to get round the roundabout and down to the hospital. You know, this isn't helping at all.
You don't see any positives on this. The plans also talk of a... They also talk of a new bus stop outside Letterkenny University Hospital. As I said, the pedestrian crossings, you don't see any advantage in this at all?
I don't mind it, no. The pedestrian crossings would be a good thing. There is a crossing crossing at the hospital gate, the old entrance to A&E it would have been. And now it would be a good idea to revamp that and upgrade it because it is a dangerous crossing. Some people stop there to let people go cross across, and you have the green light for the traffic, but the car coming down, the vehicle coming down, might not see them, and these people are walking on out.
Mm-hmm.
So there, and as well, up the circular road as well, I don't see, to revamp and upgrade the crossings there, that's no harm, I don't mind that there, that's a good idea, that's a good proposal. But they need to do them correct, like at the boys' school was on the Common Road, because there's pedestrian crossing out Ballymacool there, and you're taking your life in your hands crossing at times. Mm-hmm. You could be in the middle of the road and the car come on sliding all around and they won't stop. so they won't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the people in Balmain Police faring out with their crossings, where I'd heard them on the radio, they have no lamps up on them. Like, it's really crazy what's going on with these design offices and Transport Infrastructure Ireland and stuff.
Well, I think they're trying to make towns like Letterkenny, you know, more accessible for non-vehicular traffic. You know, that it's safer to cycle, it's safer to walk, it's safer to cross the road with your buggy. That, you know, maybe you do need to slow traffic down, because one of the we've seen with developments like at Capri, for an example, just outside Ballybuffet, and we've seen it even with the four lanes. The way you slow traffic down is you narrow the roads.
Upper Capri and Balbuffet, they're putting a new cycle lane up there. I don't know if it's finished or not. But like the way they left that road, it was madness anyway, because the cyclists were coming along and then there was nowhere at all for them to go. Mm. And like it was a design fault and that there.
Just in relation to the circular road there, if they get rid of the right turning lanes, which really pretty much run all the way up the middle. How does it work then in terms of, you know, traffic turning off the road? So if you do have to turn right into a shop or a housing estate or up a different road?
It's like out here on the Port Road, you're forced to go to the roundabout and come back out and go round the opposite roundabout. They're forcing you to go the one way to traffic and turn around and come back.
Mm.
That's what they're doing. They've been 48 roads. There's a clatter now out here to Cranry.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but that's their upgrading the roads like that these boys are doing. Craziness, so does.
Okay, that's one view. We'll see what others think. Listen, thanks so much for that.
I do believe this will swing round the top of the Glencairn Road and head down the way. And those lovely trees there at Wolfstone Place, they're in the firing line as well.
Mm.
It seems to a happy council will be out again.
Okay. So, right.
Just want to let the folk know, because they're folks busy and they see these signs up, but they don't have time really to stop and read them. I live up there and I just be out walking my dog and I happen to notice it.
Mm.
I'll have them posted at Simpson's shop as well and at some of the avenues to the estates as well now, but you know, there's no consultation with people living or businesses or anything. And I know people now that they will not come to Letterkenny to do business because of the traffic congestion and the problems getting in and out.
All right, listen, thanks for that, Mark. Kevin, what do you think?
Well, I live in the circular road as well.
Yep.
And cycle lanes on this circular road is a waste of time.
Really?
Because they don't use the road, they use the footpaths.
Mm.
Everybody that goes up and down this road uses the footpaths.
Yes, so, but the whole idea is to get them off the footpaths, because the road's not safe for them. Get them off the footpath and onto cycle lanes, Kevin.
Here. Up and down the main street, you see how many people's nearly knocked down every day with them going up and down on the footpaths with their cycles and their scooters. Go out where there is cycle lanes and they're on the footpaths.
Mm-hmm. Or on the road.
They just do not use the cycle lanes. Anybody that uses the road is usually the clubs. Now, this circular road, I agree with putting in proper pelican crossings for the pedestrians. And to slow traffic down, I've been on here umpteen dozen times about the speed of the traffic going up and down this circular road. It's got that bad, you can't even get out of your street.
According to other listeners, you can't get up to speed on it because the congestion is so bad and this will only make it worse. So it can't be two things at the same time, can it? Or is it at different times
here,
of the day?
You have the rush hours where you can't even move on it.
Yeah.
It's the same, it's blocked up the same as the rest of Letterkenny. But in the evenings and between them times, I'm telling you, there's very few of them go at 50 kilometres an hour up and down that road. They're flat to the mat. They're rushing to get to schools. They're rushing to get home. You get knocked down crossing the bloody road.
You see, later this year, that's likely to be a 30-kilometre zone. So, you know, it isn't a built-up area. There's lots of different traffic, school traffic and all that type of stuff. Is it not better? And I'm only playing devil's advocate here before anyone takes me head off. Is it not the future? You know, me and you maybe aren't going to cycle, Kevin, but is it not the future that people can get around Letterkenny on their feet, on their bikes? You've got, you've got a road for traffic, but you also have a footpath for foot passengers. You've got cycle lanes and you've got pedestrian crossings, and everyone just takes a little bit more time to get where they're going, and it's a safer environment for everyone.
Until it is policed.
Mm.
Who is going to police the 30 kilometres an hour? And here's one, and I'm going to throw it in. As the last guard I seen on a push bike, the mountain bike, was riding the footpath coming up Circular Road. Now, what message is that sending out to the rest of the cyclists and the scooter riders?
Mm.
If the guards can do it, the rest of us can do it. Now, until it is policed, up and down that main street there, there should be two guards up and down there every day. And whatever's going wrong, nail it.
Yeah, but we'd like guards everywhere. And the only way you're gonna stop, I'd like guards. I'd like two guards walking up and down outside my house as well. But yet there has to be a public responsibility here, no?
I think that is a public responsibility because people know that they can get away with parking on box junctions and parking up on footpaths so that people with prams and everything else have to go out on the road.
Okay.
It has to be nailed. And it has to be an onslaught a week or a fortnight.
Right,
and
okay.
Cleared off. And then, you know.
Okay. Kevin.
Hey, I'm only saying what I think.
That's why we want to chat to you. Yep. Many will agree with you, Kevin.
I bet you there's a lot more people thinking.
Okay.
I bet you there's a lot more will agree with me.
Right, okay, listen.
Great.
Kevin, take care of yourself. Now, this is all open to public consultation at the moment, okay? So what we've seen with other road developments in the past, not just in Letterkenny but elsewhere, is the work begins and people are like, well, what's happening here? This isn't going to work. You do have to have your say. I'm not saying it's necessarily going to influence the outcome, but it certainly will be considered as part of the decision-making. It's a public consultation on these plans. The plans are available for you to view at Lifford, at County House in Lifford, the Public Services Centre there. You can go and see them at the Public Services Centre in Letterkenny on the Neil T. Blaney Road. You can go in and look at them between 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. and from 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. The plans and particulars will be available for inspection, as I've mentioned, up until Monday, the 3rd of March. Submissions and observations with respect to the proposed development dealing with the proper planning and sustainable development of the area in which the development is situated, as we've been outlining, may be made in writing to the County Secretariat Office, Donegal County Council, Lifford, County Donegal, or make a submission. There's a make a submission button on the website, but it has to be before 4 p.m. on Wednesday, the 19th of March. So there you go. That is the proposal for the circular road there, the L1007. So for those of you outside of the area, you would be familiar with the hospital. So it's the road that heads away from the roundabout at the front of the hospital there. It's quite a built-up area, really. Letterkenny, the town of Letterkenny, that is it. It extends well out there now. Okay, so any further views on that, let me know. Okay, you're very welcome back to this Thursday's 9 till noon show. Our next guest in studio with us is Dr. Neo Milo. Am I correct in my pronunciation?
Thank you so much, Greg. Close enough is D Neo, because Neo would mean one Neo.
Oh, my word. D Neo. D Neo.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you're the CEO of Mrs. Africa Ireland, an emergency consultant in Letterkenny University Hospital. Now, the Mrs. Africa Ireland takes place on August 30th at the Johnstown Estate, County Meath. And it's not just a beauty contest. There's much more to it, of course, because beauty is shown in many different ways, isn't it, Danao?
Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak about this beautiful, beautiful journey for young women in Ireland. Like you said, Miss Africa Ireland to me is an empowerment program. It's a sisterhood. It's a platform for ladies from all parts of Ireland to come and find the best versions of themselves.
Right. So this competition is open to all African women living in Ireland between the ages of 18 and 35.
That's it.
OK. It doesn't matter if you're married or not, hence the Mrs. And, you know, who do you encourage to enter?
So I'm calling to literally all of the ladies, Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, anybody who is within the same age group with connections to Africa at all, anybody who is thirsty, anybody who is ready to just go into spaces that they may not have thought of going into before. They're looking for opportunities to grow. They're looking for opportunities to know how to public speak, how to represent themselves, how to build their own brands. I call to all of the ladies, whether you're in college, working, married, not married. This competition is for everyone, really, Greg. It's really, really inclusive, and that's what it's all about.
What I find interesting about these types of competitions in all their various forms is that people sort of wanted them to go away, I think. I think people presumed women didn't want them, you know, when people were advocating, effectively ending up telling women what they want, I think. But what we have seen is they continue to be incredibly popular, be it the Mary from Dunloe or the Rose of Tralee or Miss Africa Ireland, and it's driven by women, and it's very powerful women that enter these for all their own reasons. It could be to highlight an issue or a cause or to just represent themselves. This is, you know, driven by women, for women and the general population.
Absolutely. I mean, I want to use myself as an example, Greg. You mentioned there that I'm a consultant in emergency medicine. And I have to say, honestly, 5-10 years ago, if you asked me, am I going to be in the world of pageantry, I would have laughed at you. until the opportunity presented itself, and it was just following COVID, and we were all just trying to find different aspects of ourselves.
And what did you get from it, personally?
I got, first of all, super empowered. I unleashed powers within me that I didn't even know I had. You know, somebody will think, oh, but you're a doctor, you're a public speaker, you're a natural orator. You should be good at certain things. But going through the competition that I went through just taught me basic things like building my own brand, sponsorship, and really just engaging communities and charities in a positive way, to the point where now I get to speak in forums about healthcare, not because I'm a doctor, but because people know that I'm an empowered woman through pageantry. So it's very much a platform for you to become anything you want to become. And this is why it's so important for us to embrace it. And that's why I specifically say that it's not a beauty pageant. It's not a beauty contest. It's really just a platform of empowerment for women.
Yeah, but I suppose even if it were about beauty, beauty comes in all forms, you know, powerful, confident people, people in control of their own destiny. It's all beautiful, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Now, how do people apply? And what's involved with it? Like, what are they taking on, if you know what I mean?
Yes, so the reason we call it an empowerment program is the ladies will come on. The closing date is on the 31st of March, and the application is on all our media. We are at Mrs. Africa Ireland on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, even on YouTube. There's a form in there. It's a really easy peasy form. There's a small little entry fee just to make sure that everybody's super serious. And we take these ladies through mentorship programs and master classes. And it's anything from women in business to financial literacy to how to speak in public, how to dress, because it's very important how people perceive you. The power of social media. And, you know, we're hoping to meet through boot camps as well and engage even several academic institutions in terms of several courses. And we're really looking forward for these ladies to not just come and smile and wave at the Johnstown on the 30th, but we're looking for a whole bunch of empowered ladies who can go back to their counties and do the same thing.
It's almost as if the process is more important than the night itself, if
yes,
that makes sense.
And that's what happened with me with my own competition. There was very little known about what happened in the background. People just thought, oh, you've entered, now you've seen your picture posing on social media, next thing you have the finale. There's actually a lot that goes on behind, and there's a lot of empowerment programs that are willing to engage ladies who are ready to go on this journey. So I encourage literally anybody who's listening, any lady out there, if you know a lady that will fulfill these criteria, just let them know. And you don't need to be ready. Just come as you are, wherever you are. You may have a master's program going on. You may have exams upcoming. You may have just had a baby 6 months ago. Come as you are, because we're going to engage you exactly in your own space, and you're going to get ready on the way to the 30th of August.
Why would, in this day and age, would we need specific events like this for specific groups of people, if you know what I mean?
I'm very passionate about women, Greg. As a woman, obviously, I'm very passionate about African women, living in the diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are very few spaces that hold space for women. And it's so important to hold space for women, because when women come together, amazing things happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we've passed knowledge through generations. That's how we've grown through generations. And this is about carving space for women to just be themselves. Forget for 1 hour a day that you're a mother, that you are a caregiver, that you are, you know, running a whole household. And it literally just gives you a moment to just think about just you. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important. And that hour in 24 hours makes a huge difference. And it makes you pour into your cup a little bit. You become more loving, you're more tolerant. Mm. You give a little bit more because you're so full. You fill yourself all the time. So it's about filling women's cups so that they can continue to do what they do best.
Yeah, we're not just commodities, are we? We're much more than that. How do people apply?
So Mrs. Africa Ireland is our official handle. Our hashtag is MyMMAI2025. Go on our Instagram, go on our Facebook. The link is in our bio. Fill in a one-page application form and you get an answer straight away. And within a couple of days, we'll let you know that we've looked at your socials, we've looked at your credentials, we've looked at your pictures, and then we take it from there. The applications until the 31st of March, but don't wait too long because the spaces are really running out.
And it's part of the process too. The successful applicants then will have to pursue sponsorship. I've spoken to former contestants of this competition in the past. That's part of it, but presumably that's part of the growth as well, putting yourself out there and backing yourself.
It is a very important aspect of pageantry and empowerment, because once you have your own brand, you have to acknowledge, you know, you have to know that skill of selling yourself to the point where people want to work with ourselves. And sponsorship doesn't necessarily mean money, especially in modern pageantry. It's easy for somebody to throw you 50 euro, 100 euro and say, go your own way. Good luck on the 30th. But we're talking about sponsorships in terms of collaborations, partnership, what you can offer the brand. It's a much better solution for the brand than just give you a bit of money.
And Mrs. Africa Ireland takes place on August 30th, 2025 at the Johnstown Estate, County Meath. Not that it has to, but does this lead into an international competition?
Well, I mean, that's the future. So this is our inaugural year. This is our very first year here in Ireland.
Okay, sorry. I thought I was almost sure I'd spoken to ladies involved in this before, but maybe there's similar competitions.
Similar competition, but yeah. I've been heavily involved in competitions in the UK where the world of pageantry is huge. But Mrs. Africa Ireland specifically itself, the 30th of August is going to be our very first inaugural one. That's why we want it to be a huge, huge hit.
How many participants would you hope to have?
If I go to the finale with sort of 12, 14, that would be great.
It's very achievable.
Too much would be a little bit, you know, I still have a full-time job at the end of the day.
Yeah, we need you down there now, so I'm holding your pay. Get down there. What I was going to say to you as well is that we'll share this information out in our social media, so obviously we hope to reach people through the airwaves as well. But no harm for our listeners who are with us on social media to share it into groups as well, to try and get the message out there.
Absolutely.
And reach it. It would be great to have Donegal representation.
Please. Can I just say thank you so much that you mentioned that 80% of the contestants so far are from Dublin.
Yeah, we need to sort that out.
And that's sort of something that I expected, and you know, I'll do a gap analysis on that one day and figure out what that is.
It's just urban area.
Queens from Donegal, we need to represent.
All right, brilliant stuff.
To represent, because if we do one day, I want this competition, I want this finale to come to Donegal one day. I want this to be a Donegal thing. And Greg, may I just give a big shout out to the charity that we are affiliated with. I'm very proud that us at Miss Africa Ireland have linked up with a charity called Bud Club. Bud Club as in buddy. It's actually based in Derry and Strabane, because the competition is for the whole of Ireland.
Yeah, island-wide.
Mayor Lillian Sinoiba, the mayor of Derry, happens to be very good friends with my brand, and she has the Bud Club as a chosen charity for the year. So we're very, very happy to be affiliating with her, and we've chosen Bud Club as our charity. It's an amazing, amazing platform and forum for children with other needs. 14, I think from the age of 11 to 25 or something. It's a beautiful sort of after school care for parents to drop off their kids, and they can meet with other youth and do a little bit of Zumba, you know, have a little bit of a disco party, or some of them paint, or they do a bit of writing, or they just talk among themselves. And these are children, Greg, who otherwise, if you left them in normal mainstream school, may not be invited to birthday parties.
Yeah, they get left behind.
They don't get picked for football teams, they sort of just get left behind, like you said. And the Bat Lab gives them a fantastic opportunity to just be youth, to be teenagers.
Yeah, and to develop through inclusion as well, too, which is brilliant.
Absolutely.
Okay, listen, we've touched on quite a bit here, but nothing sometimes beats opening the links and having a good old dig through. Go to Mrs. Africa Ireland across social media and get more information. And we wish you the very best with the competition. Competition, I don't know if you like to use that word, the event. Okay, we'll put it like that. And it's in St. Johnstown, it's in the Johnstown Estate, County Meath, this August the 30th. But we hope soon up here in Donegal if Dr. Dina Milo gets her way. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to Happy as well for getting in touch and videographing. You better not cut me out. Pointed at her the whole time about you, wasn't it? Hello. All right, then. Listen, thanks very much for that. We'll be back soon. Let's talk speed cameras. Do you mind? Because yesterday we had Councillor Jack Murray on, and we've made our own inquiries as well, questioning why there has been a speed van placed on Buncrana Main Street. It's taken up two parking spaces when it's there. Some say that it's discouraging people from using the main street. And there's lots of to's and fro's from it. Most people opposed to it, but lots of you messaged in on speed vans. The speed van you mentioned in Glenties is parked immediately after a huge speed bump, so you won't be catching anyone speeding, says a listener. Could someone answer a simple question? Are speed vans and their drivers given a bonus based on the number of fines issued? I think we pursued that before, and I don't believe they are. Greg, has anyone ever confirmed that they received a fine from the speed tax van parked on the main street? I find it hard to believe that their system would actually work in that position. That's what I was curious of. It just, if a van pulled in behind it, as I said yesterday on the show, I would presume there is a distance that needs to be travelled at a certain speed to clock someone. Or maybe it is about recognising people without tax. I don't know. Roads. Ask the real question. Where's all the money going? It's not on the roads. Third world infrastructure here, says a listener. Will new speed limits apply to Northern Irish cars? If so, how will they collect the fines and give them penalty points, or will they escape prosecution? It's exactly the same way it is now. So whatever is the situation now, it'll be the situation going forward in terms of... I don't know, in the north you have a ghost licence. Do we do that here? I was coming back from Carndonagh to Malin Head last night after 6 p.m. It was pitch black and it was pouring rain, and there was a man on a mobility scooter. Now, I know he can legally drive on the main public road, but honestly, there's going to be serious collision. Just thought anyone travelling on that road should be alerted. I have family and friends that had near misses. Okay. It'll be much easier to text at 60 kilometres per hour than at 80. A few people have made that point, and I think it's tongue-in-cheek, but it would make you wonder our attitudes to road safety, wouldn't it? Let's get Mickey's attitude to road safety. Hi, Mickey.
How you doing?
All right. I'm doing great to speak to you, Mickey. What's your observation?
Well, I'm sort of trying to figure out, you know, these guys talk about consultations.
Yeah.
I emailed Donegal County Council. It would have been early 2003. Or 2023, sorry, about road ramps, illegal road ramps that they have installed on roads. And I got an automatic reply, and that's it. I got on to the Department of Transport in September of the same year, got an automatic reply, and that's it. It seems to be the case that nobody wants to hear you when you say, hold on a wee minute, this is not right.
Yeah, you mentioned
you're
that they're
making a mistake. You know?
Mentioned that the speed bumps are illegal. I mean, they're not illegal. I mean,
Yes, they are.
Tell me how.
If you read the rules of the installation of roadmap of road ramps, the road traffic regulations, they state loud and clear that road ramps will be installed in areas where the speed limit is 30 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. Now, these things, regulations date to 1998 or something like that.
1988.
So obviously it's miles per hour. So let nobody try and tell me that in a 60 kilometre an hour area that the road ramp, that you're allowed to put on speed bump. I reckon anybody damaged a car in those speed bumps could sue Donegal County Council, and they'd be bound to want.
There might be a provision in that statute, though, that allows for exemptions. It might not be quite as clear. Often there is.
No, there's not.
Okay.
No, there's not. It's simple. It's black and white. The rule, the speed limit must be 30 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. It's check the regulations for yourself.
I'm looking at
them
here, have it in front of me. Yeah, I'm looking at it. But I'm just saying that often there's wiggle room there, isn't it?
There's none that I can find anyway. Let's put it that way. But, you know, regardless of wriggle, there is no wriggle room. It is that simple. It's illegal.
Mm.
And the best of it is, you get on to Donegal County Council, they don't bother getting back to you. I get on to the Department of Transport, I might as well have got on to me dog.
Mm.
It's a complete waste of time speaking to these guys. They just don't hear you because it doesn't suit. You know.
And yeah.
I have it here, Statutory Instrument 32 of the 1988
Let me help you. It's in Section 4. Ramps shall not be provided on a roadway where the road concerned is a road in respect of which a speed limit exceeding 30 miles per hour applies.
Exactly.
A national road, a toll carriageway, or a road with an omnibus service.
Yeah. Point made. Mm-hmm. Where a speed limit more than 30 applies.
That is there in black and white, 1988.
It's there in black and white.
Oh, there's an amendment, though. What does the amendment? Oh, I'm not going through the amendments. It was updated on the 17th of January, 2025.
Yes.
Hmm. All right, okay, I'm not digging into that. I'm not going down that rabbit hole. Okay, but as you say, as it stands in 1988, you're quite correct. I was never doubting you. I just wonder if there's often some wiggle room or some way around things. Right,
no,
fascinating stuff, Mickey. All right, let's dig a bit deeper into that. Thank you so much for your time. Back with the news at 11.